All right, biohackers, who doesn't love a yummy, creamy whey protein shake? Oh, it is such a treat. And I really love it as a meal replacement, post-workout recovery, maybe even a midday snack. So this is why I have to tell you about Puree protein powder. I absolutely love the bourbon vanilla flavor and the chocolate, but I think I got to go with the vanilla as my favorite. So it's smooth, it's delicious, and you know what else? It's pretty awesome that the flavors come from real natural ingredients like the bourbon vanilla seeds from Madagascar. And let's talk about quality because there's a lot of junk whey protein on the market that I would not recommend. So the Puree whey protein, it comes from pasture-raised cow's milk with no hormones, no GMOs, and no pesticides. This is because Puree's mission has always been to be the best at offering pure, clean, and superior products that support health and well-being. And what I think truly sets them apart is that they are fully transparent with their product testing. Every batch is third-party tested against more than 200 contaminants and certified clean by the Clean Label Projects. Not all brands can say this. Plus, each product contains a QR code so you can personally scan it and review the test results at home. I know you're excited to try it out. So what you're going to do is head on over to puree.com/biohackerbabes. That's puri.com/biohackerbabes. And then make sure you use promo code biohackerbabes at checkout to save 20%. All right, let's get back to the show.
Essentially having the same effect as if you were eating a bunch of junk food on a regular basis. And this is kind of what's happening in your body just by being exposed to all of these cell phones, Wi-Fi.
Hey there, welcome to the Biohacker Babes podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Renee, a certified nutritional consultant with a master's degree in nutrition.
What's up? And I'm Lauren, functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and Czech movement specialist. We're sisters and we're joining forces to empower you to become your own biohacker and upgrade your life.
Our mission is to provide actionable steps so you can optimize your health, strengthen your intuition, and support your body's natural healing abilities. Because life is too short to not feel your best every single day.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Welcome to episode 121 of the Biohacker Babes podcast. I'm Renee, tuning in from Las Vegas today, and I have my sister Lauren here.
What's up? Tuning in from Maryland. Hi, friends.
It looks so pretty there. I love all the green in the back window.
It is green. Sort of.
Nice fall weather.
Fall. Mom said yesterday, she's like, this is a messy time of year. There's just leaves everywhere, but it's really pretty.
I miss that. We don't get any of that here in Vegas.
Oh, sorry. Well, come visit. Come visit for the leaves.
Yes. Hopefully soon. Awesome. All right. Well, we are going to be bringing on a guest for you today. We have Arthur Menard from Lambs. This is our go-to EMF protective clothing brand. You've probably seen us posting pictures wearing our shirts and our beanies, especially when we're flying. When I am in an airplane, that is my number one time. I definitely want to be protected from radiation. So it's been really helpful there. So you're probably familiar with the dangers of EMFs. We have talked about it a little bit on the podcast before, and we've given you some good strategies, but we really think clothing is the next best thing that we should be doing because it's going to protect your body everywhere you go. So even if you're in an apartment building that has 30 Wi-Fi signals, or you're out and about and you're walking past a cell tower, right? If you're wearing that clothing, it's going to be protecting you much better than just trying to shield every single device in the area. That is nearly impossible. So the Lambs clothing is pretty awesome. Arthur, he's the founder and CEO. He is great. He's definitely a fellow biohacker. He's so passionate about health and wellness. And creating this business is, I think it's been like a passion project, it sounds like, for him, but it's helping so many people around the world. And he has some great testimonials and stories. He also shares with us the science behind what EMFs are doing to our body, you know, the oxidative stress issue, the biggest health concerns we're seeing. We'll definitely link to some excellent research in the show notes today. So if you want to dive deeper into that rabbit hole, we'll definitely guide you on how to do that.
Yeah. And I'm feeling extra pumped today because I have my Lambs t-shirt on. So this is I guess, one of my safest podcasts ever, because I am shielded from EMS right now. And I think that's sort of the key distinction between this and other EMF blocking technologies. We post a lot about Defender Shield, and we had Daniel Devon on our show last year, and we love their product line. It's amazing. They have like the laptop shield, the fanny pack that I take everywhere with me, the phone cases, really, really important for protecting yourself from your devices. But like Renee said, there's a lot of power in just protecting your body from this stuff coming in. So I live in New York City, and it's like when I open my Wi-Fi networks, there's 30 plus options for networks to connect to. So no matter how much I protect my devices, I'm still being bombarded by all of these signals. So what LAMPS has done is said, you know, we really have to go in and shield our body, because it's impossible to kind of cut off all of this noise out there. And if your body is protected, that's really like the best armor that you can have. So I feel really good in this t-shirt. I'm already shopping to see what I want to buy everything in their line. The company is growing really quickly. I remember when they first came out, they just had like the boxer briefs for men. And now they have t-shirts, they have beanies, they have stuff for women, for babies. The link to fertility is really, really incredible. You'll learn more about that in the episode. And yeah, he's just really awesome, doing really awesome things in the world. And we would love for you to share this education on EMFs, because he kind of goes into why this research is not spreading as quickly as maybe it should. The research is definitely there, and we just need to spread this information to protect ourselves, protect our loved ones. And I think you're going to really enjoy Arthur.
Yeah, definitely spread the word, and especially anything with fertility. Get those boxer briefs, get the cheeky underwear. We got to protect.
And then for the pregnant women, there's a belly band, which is so, so cool. Get the belly band.
Yeah, we got to protect future generations. So he's doing the work. Great. So like I said before, so Arthur Menard, he is the founder and CEO of LAMPS, the health enhancing tech apparel. For over 15 years, Arthur has been obsessed by optimizing his health and wellness. While monitoring what he was putting inside his body, Arthur realized that what he was exposing his body to also had a big impact. LAMPS was born to solve this and to inspire people like you to live healthier lives. Arthur holds a master's degree in engineering and biology, is a Forbes 30 Under 30, and has been featured in publications such as Men's Health, GQ, The New Yorker, and more. And make sure you check out the website this week, because they're going to be having big Black Friday sales. So we have Thanksgiving in just a few days. So check out the sales online. Also, make sure you use code BIOHACKERBABES at checkout. That'll get you an extra discount on your order.
Oh yeah, this is definitely going into my shop. I mean, I've already done some shopping, and I'm going to shop some more Black Friday. If there's anything that's going to go at the top of my list, it certainly is EMF protecting clothing and devices. So get in there while you can.
Yeah. Perfect Christmas gifts too. Get started. All right. Let's bring Arthur on. Welcome, Arthur, to the Biohacker Babes podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Renee. Super excited to be here.
Yeah. We have been counting down the days for this podcast. We are huge fans of LAMPS and the clothing, so we can't wait to share that with our listeners today. But just a brief intro about EMFs for everyone listening. So we have talked about the dangers of EMFs very briefly, and some strategies of what we can do to protect ourselves, you know, things like using a cell phone case and turning off your Wi-Fi router when you're sleeping. But at the end of the day, these EMFs are everywhere, right? We can't avoid them unless we just move to the middle of nowhere and get rid of all of our electronics. So that's where the clothing, I think, is really awesome, right? We're like actually protecting our whole body from all these external stressors that are impacting our health. But for anyone listening that's not totally sold on the idea that EMFs are a problem, or like maybe they don't even know what that is, let's start with the basics. What are EMFs, and what are the biggest impacts we're seeing with our health from this exposure?
Yeah, that's a very broad question, but yeah. Let's start with EMF. So EMFs stand for electromagnetic frequencies or electromagnetic fields, and they're also referred to as wireless radiation. They're essentially the way that our devices are communicating with one another, especially when linked to the internet. So your cell phone is communicating with cell towers using EMF. Your Wi-Fi is communicating with your computer using EMF. And any connected devices like your car, any smart home appliances, your Alexa or Google Home, et cetera. All of these are connected either via Wi-Fi or via Bluetooth, and that's how they are able to communicate with one another. So that's why EMF are so ubiquitous today, because we went from having one brick of a cell phone in the 90s that you'd carry in your backpack and turn on twice a week.
emergencies only.
For emergencies, exactly. To now a world where everything is connected and everything is communicating with one another. So all of these devices are emitting wireless radiation. These radiation are different from nuclear radiation, which are called ionizing radiation. These are powerful enough to go and knock out electrons from your DNA straight away and cause direct damage. But these wireless radiation are still impacting your health in a different way. So they're closer to the same, they're actually the same type of radiation that you have in your microwave. And there's a good reason why your microwave has a Faraday cage inbuilt to prevent the radiation from getting outside of its microwave. And the mechanism of harm of those radiation has been debated for a very long time. But 30 years now into the research of the impact of wireless radiation, we're starting to finally understand why wireless radiation are impacting our body. And it all stems from oxidative stress. And I'm happy to get down into that rabbit hole if you guys
A great segue to jump into. We've talked about oxidative stress and how that impacts aging and shortens our longevity. But yeah, let's jump into that. Explain that a little bit more.
Yeah. So I'll give you a little bit of context first. The very first studies that were done on wireless radiation health really started, with regards to your cell phone, really started in the 90s. When someone died from brain cancer and the tumor was right next to his ear where he was using his cell phone all the time. And that was the first case of someone and the significant other of that unfortunate person ended up pressing charges against the cell phone company that her husband was using, saying that this was due to the cell phone radiation. And the very first studies that were done were trying to link cell phone radiation and cancer, or the opposite. And a lot of the studies have been done on rather the end effect of wireless radiation, so cancer, fertility, a variety of issues that were suspected to be associated with wireless radiation, but never really on the mechanism. And that was the whole, and that probably played quite well with regards to lobbying in the media, because then it was like, okay, so wireless radiation impacts your fertility, it impacts cancer, is it responsible for global warming as well? Where we're at it, like it's, it kind of sounded like it's that thing that does everything, which sounds very much like a conspiracy theory. So more recently, we've kind of figured out what the mechanism of harm is. And essentially, going back to the name EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, can impact a very specific gate in your cells called a voltage-gated calcium channel. So calcium is not only important in your body because it's one of the things that build your bones, but also because it's a key messenger inside your body. And one of the ways it penetrates the cells to be a signaling molecule is via those gates that are voltage activated. So the moment wireless radiation are in contact with these gates from our cells, these gates open and let calcium flow inside the cells. And this triggers a variety, a number of cascading reactions that start in your mitochondria. And the end result, the end product of all these reactions, is our free molecules that produce free radicals. Free radicals are at the root cause of oxidative stress, which is an imbalance between free radicals that are missing an electron and are trying to steal an electron from nearby molecules, and antioxidants who are able to give out an electron without becoming free radicals themselves. And yeah, so this is what's happening in our body when exposed to wireless radiation. We have an accelerated production of free radicals, which can favor a state of oxidative stress in our body. And oxidative stress, which you've discussed it before, is at the root cause of aging, but also a number of today's modern diseases associated with age, such as cancer, such as cardiovascular disease and neurological disorders like Parkinson, Alzheimer, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's not the only, I mean, obviously, like, it's not because you've been exposed to, because you have your cell phone next to you for a few minutes that this is, that you're going to develop cancer tomorrow. And it's far from being the only thing that produces oxidative stress in our body. Unhealthy eating, not exercising, poor sleep, all of this can favor a state of oxidative stress as well. But obviously, this is one additional factor that impacts our body and stresses down the road.
Yeah, interesting that you mentioned just the phone being by you. That alone is not going to give you cancer. But I hear that a lot as sort of an excuse for not avoiding EMFs, is that, oh, this one thing's not going to give me that much radiation, but we're being bombarded by it all the time. It's not just your phone, but everyone else's phone and all of the signals in the air. And I live in New York City, so I can do all of the blocking that I want to do. I have my laptop shield, my phone shield. I have necklaces. I have biogeometry. It's like when I use my EMF meter, there's still signals coming in because no matter how much I do, there's still stuff all around us. So how do we get, I'm just going to put the men on the hot seat, but like my boyfriend, Renee's husband, they're like, it can't be that bad, right? Like I'm going to sleep with my phone next to the bed. It can't be that bad. What is it doing to our organs? And is there a difference between men and women? Should, you know, one gender be more scared than the other? Actually, I just want you to scare everybody, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not really like scaring people because I tend to try and be reasonable, but I'll say one thing though, which is it's not because it's one source of harm that it means that we can go ahead and forget about it and go live our lives with cell phones glued to our head. I mean, there's something called the compounding effect, which is the more sources of external stressors you have, the more sources of harm you have, the more these compound into bigger issues in the future. And the longer you're exposed to as well, the more likely you are to end up developing something bad from the exposure or the bad habits that you have. So all I wanted to say is that for people who are eating healthy, who are watching what they're putting inside their body, this is probably something that they want to watch as well, because it's essentially having the same effect as if you were eating a bunch of junk food on a regular basis. And this is kind of what's happening in your body just by being exposed to all of these cell phones, Wi-Fi, et cetera, et cetera. Just for the side story about living in New York. So for us at the office, we have about 36 Wi-Fi signals that we're getting from our devices. So,
oh my gosh,
it is literally everywhere, and so the impact on our organs is a long-term impact again. But oxidative stress is effectively destroying your cells and destroying your organs long-term, your tissues and damaging your organs. The best example of oxidative stress is to cut open an apple, let it sit on a counter. And when you see that apple becoming brown on the inside, that's an example of oxidation that is happening on the exposed part of the apple. That's essentially long-term what's happening in the body when being damaged by this oxidative stress. So it's not great.
Rotten apples.
And essentially, and again, like the biggest concern with regards to exposure to wireless radiation and the increased oxidative stress that there is are from the organs that are most exposed. So fertility issues, whether for men or women, especially when having your cell phone in your pocket or in a handbag that might be close to your ovaries as a woman. Your heart, your breast, from women as well, especially when it comes to cancer, and obviously your brain when you're not using corded headsets, but using wireless headsets or putting your cell phone right against your ear, which also might be impacted by general Wi-Fi as well. The general rule of thumb is that the closer you are to the source of exposure, the more wireless radiation you're going to be exposed to. And it's an exponential rule. So if you're twice as close to your cell phone, you've got about four times more radiation. And that's your cell phone or any source of of EMF. So at the very least, what you can do is stop sleeping with your cell phone next to your bed or put it in airplane mode. I doubt that you're going to be texting at night anyways if you're sleeping. Right. And
that's what I always say. Yeah.
And yeah, try to turn off your Wi-Fi at night as well. And that should cut out already some source of exposure. The second advice that I give everyone is the moment you get home or at the office or somewhere, wherever you're going and going to spend quite a bit of time, take your cell phone out of your pocket and put it on the table or just away from you. That doesn't prevent you from still texting, still doing everything, but you don't have to carry it in your pocket, which is way closer to your body than anywhere else can be. Yeah. And just especially already by men. Doing, especially for men, I mean, that applies for women as well. Especially the key difference between men and women is that from a fertility standpoint, when we're talking about having a cell phone in your pocket, men keep on producing new sperm all the time, whereas women's oocytes are already created at birth and are stored in the ovaries. So any sort of damage that happen on these oocytes is irreversible, and the impact on fertility can be much worse than it is for men, simply because that it cannot be reversed. So especially for women who do want to have, for men or women who want to have kids, this is something that being mindful of is it can really make a difference. On the bright side, we have a number of Lemus babies that we're happy to report. So we have a number of people who started wearing lamps because they were trying to have kids and really struggling, and the doctor suggested started wearing lamps to remove forest radiation, and within a few months of starting wearing lamps they were able to procreate and have a baby. So
that's so cool.
We've had a very touching story as well of one of our customers who I think struggled for 3 years before his first baby, had to go through multiple IVFs, etc., and got his second baby on his first try after being a LAMS customer for about 2 years. Literally, the first month they tried, they got pregnant, and this was a huge relief for the family not to have to go through this again. So,
yeah.
That's
do you have a wall at the office of all the baby photos?
We don't, but we should.
We should start that. Lamb babies. Baby wall. I'm sure that the fertility doctors weren't even, do you think that was on their radar, literally?
Yeah, I mean, it starts to be, and we're partnered with a few fertility companies that specialize in this. And the first thing that they said to us, especially if sperm testing companies are, it's crazy the number of men who are classified as not infertile, but not in their, let's say, like not super fertile.
Like about lower yeah. sperm count, lower motility. That kind of
exactly,
thing.
Yeah. And about 70% of men who get their sperm tested today have a problem with regards to fertility. And those companies, when chatting with them, they're like, well, they believe that wireless radiation is one of the main reasons why we've seen that change. And especially from a macro perspective, we've lost about 2% of fertility in the past 15 years per year. So that's about 30% less fertility than we had about 15 years ago. And obviously there are other factors that are playing a role. Pollution is one of them, pesticides, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of doctors nowadays think that wireless radiation is one of the main factors when it comes to male fertility issues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know that sperm are very susceptible to oxidative damage. So like you said, whether it's EMFs or pesticides or pollution, all of those things are just adding up and causing that. So infertility, yeah, major, major issue. So I hope I'm not jumping ahead, but for men that are already like, wait a second, what do I need to do? Can we talk about like a shielding thing for that, for fertility specifically, how that works?
Yeah, I mean, so there are men who have different, when I'm chatting about this, I'm seeing two types of reactions. Either, okay, what do I need to do? Or like, okay, stuff 5 cell phones in my pants. I don't want any kids anytime soon.
Oh my gosh. The new birth control.
Yeah, which I would not necessarily recommend as a as birth control mechanism either. No, more seriously, this is actually why we started with NEMS, or how we got started. Our very first product was designed for men and women who are keeping their cell phones in their pockets, and it is underwear. So a little bit of backstory on before we get into the protection is the reason why we have so much EMFs today in our lives is, again, because these devices are communicating with one another. And the EMF are the way this information is being transmitted through air. And so the only way we've really found to protect ourselves against and shield ourselves against EMF was to shield the body instead of trying to shield the phone or shield the Wi-Fi router or what have you. Because if we do have an effective shielding mechanism there, then your phone is just as good as being in airplane mode. It's not going to be receiving any texts. It's not going to be connected to the internet anymore. So if we are to block 99.9% of wireless radiation from anything, it has to be the body, or all of our devices are, I mean, then you can just move to the woods and it's going to be more effective. So the way we did it is by using a scientific principle called electromagnetic shielding, also known as a Faraday cage, which uses a principle that is that wireless radiation cannot penetrate a mesh of conductive fibers if the size of the holes of the mesh is smaller than the wavelength of the radiation, which is a mouthful. And I'm just going to illustrate it to make it much easier.
Can you say it one more time?
Well, let me rather do a parallel that's going to be much easier. For people who are seeing the video, there's a grid behind me, and the size of the holes there are smaller than the size of my head. So there is about 0% chance that I'm getting through that fence here, given the size of this fence. Now, if the holes were much bigger than my head, I could go through. But as long as it's smaller, I can't penetrate this fence. That's the key principle behind electromagnetic shielding. The second one, we can keep on going with the analogy of the fence. If this fence is 3 feet long and that's it, I can probably go around it. If it's 3 miles long on each side, I'm much less likely to get on the other side. And the same principle applies for electromagnetic shielding, which is you need enough surface of this conductive material to be able to effectively block radiation and shield whatever you're shielding. So the way we're doing it is we created a fabric, which is a proprietary fabric, principally made out of silver fibers, which are extremely conductive. And we're weaving these fibers in such a way that they're blocking every wireless radiation from our consumer devices. So Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, 4G, 5G, cell phone, etc. And then we're weaving this fabric into garments that are surrounding the parts of the body that we're trying to protect. So in the instance of fertility, our underwear are made with our, I mean, actually all of our garments, they are made just with that fabric in order to have maximum coverage. And so we're shielding, when it comes to fertility, we're shielding the genitals, especially for men then, using this special fabric and prevent any wireless radiation from reaching the said organ.
Cool. You have this amazing video on the website where you're showing the EMF meter and the cell phone under the men's underwear. And I guess one is just a regular pair of boxers, and then you have the lambs, and they put the EMF meter in the lambs, and there's like pretty much zero connectivity that's happening there, which is really, really cool. So do men need a pair of boxers and women need a pair of cheeky briefs for every day of the week? Or can you have one item, like I'm wearing the t-shirt right now, that will the t-shirt extend benefits to other parts of the body? Obviously, if not as much as being directly on it, but just having one piece on the body, will that help?
Yeah. I mean, it's again, like it's compounding, right? So the more protection you have, the better. Let's put it like in perspective with eating healthy or eating organic. Eating organic every Monday is better than not eating organic at all. and similarly, going to McDonald's once in a while is not gonna kill you either, as long as it's not too regular. So it's kind of similar here. I wear NEMS every day, obviously, and try to wear as many pieces of clothing as I can, but I'm not stressed out the days where I'm wearing another t-shirt because of X, Y, or Z reason. the benefits, this is now getting into something super interesting, which is that, yes, the benefits of wearing the t-shirt do extend to the rest of the body for a multitude of reasons, but or vice versa for the underwear or for the hat, which is that by removing or reducing an external stressor, we're able to help the body, we're able to help with your autonomous nervous system, which now we're getting into something a little bit different, but the autonomous nervous system is the balance between your sympathetic nervous response and your parasympathetic nervous response, which are also called fight and flight and rest and digest mode. So your body, I'm going to go into extreme simplification here just for the sake of this discussion, but your body is always fighting, I mean, is always being balanced between these two modes. Fight and flight is I'm being chased by a lion and I really need to get the hell out of here. And rest and digest is everything is fine. I just had a meal and I'm now in recovery mode. So being in fight and flight is great when you're exercising or in very specific occasion where your body is essentially shutting down or reducing every function that is not vital for its survival. So you're going to have a lot less blood flow to your gut, but your eye, your vision is going to get better. You're going to have a lot less flow to your skin, et cetera, et cetera. Essentially, your body is being tuned for performance on more tasks, muscles, yeah, and specific tasks which are linked with survival. Whereas when everything is fine, your body then is going to redirect blood flow, et cetera, to other functions that are vital, but not in the moment of being chased by a lion. So that's rest and digest. Generally, when you're not exercising, you want your body to be primarily in rest and digest mode. So to have your parasympathetic nervous function that is dominant. The more stressors you have on your body, the more likely you are to activate your sympathetic nervous response, which is something is wrong and I need to be in fight and flight. The body feels that it needs to fix it. One of the best way to measure how well balanced your system is and if you're being stressed or not, like internal stress also, by the way, works in activating this fight and flight mode versus the rest and digest, is by measuring heart rate variability or HRV, which a number of devices can do this. Oura Ring does it, Whoop does it, there you go, Ernie.
That's our most measured biomarker and our favorite.
There you go. Yeah,
and I'm glad you mentioned it.
What we found that is fascinating is that just by wearing LAMS, within 15 minutes of putting on a LAMS garment, such as the t-shirt, we're seeing a 15 to 20% improvement on our HRV. The higher the HRV, the more balanced the autonomous nervous system is, and so the more likely you are to be in parasympathetic dominance, and therefore in rest and digest. So it's a good indication that wireless radiation are putting more stress on your body, and that by wearing LAMS and removing this component, we're able to have our body essentially functioning and recovering better.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. My HRV was not great this morning. So when we hang up here, I'm going to go put my t-shirt on, put my beanie on.
Try it. Try to do two reads of HRV and let me know what you find. That.
Yeah.
We recently completed a study on this with a bunch of volunteers, and yeah, it's fascinating. It's cool. I think we had about 100% of we had one exception, but on everyone else, we saw an improvement of on average 17 or 18%.
Wow,
that's really cool. Question: I don't know if this is really uninformed, but if you were going to do some kind of pulse electromagnetic frequency to affect the nervous system and HRV, something like amp coil or like pulse centers, could you do that while wearing this technology? Will those more positive waves be able to penetrate through?
I'm going to be completely honest. I never research what frequencies they are using. So it fully depend on the frequency that is being used and whether it's in the range of frequencies that we're blocking. My gut feeling would be that it would be blocking them, and that if you were to do this, you'd probably not want to be wearing your LAMS.
Yeah, probably need to go in and look at the exact frequencies and compare. But I'm just imagining, yeah. Renee, you're all covered up doing your healing. I'm like, I gotta take it off to do my other things. I don't know.
Right. I'm really glad you asked that question, because I'm picturing, to put on all my gear and then go lay on my PMF mat. But now I'm not going to do that together.
I'm not sure that's going to be effective. But again, I haven't looked into the frequencies. So very low frequencies, generally, I mean, we shouldn't be blocking very low frequencies like the Earth, EMF, et cetera. And these are mostly magnetic anyways. But
that makes sense.
I don't have a proper answer here. Sorry.
Yeah. I really appreciate that. Yeah. It would make sense that you probably aren't blocking the slower frequencies.
Hey, biohackers, Renee here. Just a brief interruption in today's episode to tell you about one of our favorite biohacks, and it's all about drinking wine. I personally love red wine, but anytime I drink commercial wine, it totally destroys my sleep and I feel like crap the next day. I can even see the impact on my biometrics, like on my BioStrap or my Oura Ring, but I see increased body temperature, elevated heart rate, a major drop in heart rate variability, all really bad things that you don't want to see as far as sleep and recovery goes. So it's really just not worth it to me, even though I love the taste of wine. So once Lauren and I discovered Dry Farm Wines, I was so excited because I felt like I could finally drink wine again. So Dry Farm Wines offers organic, biodynamic wine. It's sugar-free, keto and paleo-friendly, it's lower in sulfates, and it's free of toxic additives. If you want to learn more about the dirty secrets behind the wine industry, especially like about the toxic additives they're throwing in there, you'd want to go back and check out episode 62, where we interviewed Todd White. He is the founder of Dry Farm Wines and gives so much great information about what's really going on with wine in the United States and why we should really be drinking safer, cleaner, healthier wines. So if you're ready to try this amazing clean wine that we love so much, check out today's show notes for a special link where you can actually get an extra bottle with your first order for just one penny. All right. We hope you love the wine. Let's get back to the show.
Question about testing some biomarkers. So you mentioned that you're not seeing this research until it's too late, until there's cancer, like significant DNA damage. Is there any testing that you're doing early on, any biomarkers you're potentially looking at that would see that we're getting that oxidative stress early on? I mean, we could look at actual oxidative stress on like a hormone test. Is there anything else that you guys are looking at specifically?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, HRV, as I said, is probably the easiest marker that you can track today that gives you a good indication of whether your body is recovering well or not. The only challenge with HRV is that you measure it against your baseline. So there is no number that is like, oh, if you're at 100 milliseconds, like this is great HRV or not. It depends on where your baseline is. I have a super high HRV, for instance, compared to most people around me. And therefore I know when I'm recovered is like, it might be a great HRV. Men and women have different HRV numbers as well. Women tend to be lower. Doesn't mean that they're less recovered or anything. So that's the limit there. But otherwise, with regards to our modern lifestyles and the type of food and exposure that we have, it is very likely that we are all experiencing oxidative stress just by, you mentioned living in New York City, the amount of pollution in the air is obviously very high. I'm in LA, same thing here. The exposure to sun can be very, very beneficial, especially from a vitamin D production perspective, etc. But overexposure to sun also creates oxidative stress. The fact that we're mostly sedentary, not moving as much as our ancestors did, is also something that creates it. So anyways, all of this to say, don't want to sound like
doom and gloom. We're all screwed.
No, I don't think
we are. It's good motivation.
But the good news is like we can take a number of very easy steps, like starting to eat paleo or at least like no processed foods and no artificial, as little artificial food as possible. Get an exercise routine, get some sun, but put on sunscreen or wear sun blocking apparel. LAMS is also UBF 50+ for this reason. Wear sun blocking apparel, and just by hitting this, you're going to be in a much healthier space already. So I think then I kind of personally, I view health and wellness as kind of a 360 approach where first, watch what you're putting inside your body, watch what you're exposing to your body to. That's going to compound over the years to make you way less likely to develop any sort of serious disease. And then obviously, if you're experiencing any symptoms of anything, then work with your doctor to solve it. But the more you're changing your lifestyle to implement these little tweaks today, the less likely you are to have to go through something a lot more painful the day something happens.
Yeah. Well, something that's kind of cool about the clothing is I think any biohack that you essentially only have to do one time is easier. Like you have to eat well, like every day. Every morning you have to wake up, you have to think about it, you have to plan it, right? But once you have the shirt, the underwear, the hat, I mean, obviously you have to remember to wear it, but it's just like, it's an easier biohack than many of the other biohacks.
Yeah.
One more thing about the short-term, like Lauren was asking with biomarkers, are there any symptoms that are short-term that people see, like headaches, migraines, anything?
Absolutely. So respiration have been linked with a number of short-term symptoms. Brain fog is a big one that people are experiencing. Problems with cognition, so memory, fatigue is another big one. And in some cases, very severe migraines. So there is a symptom called electromagnetic sensitivity, which is starting to... that a lot of doctors are considering a lot more seriously now, which are people who can feel wireless radiation a lot more than the average rest of the population. I believe it's estimated that between 2 to 4% of the population today is electrosensitive, meaning that the short-term symptoms of wireless radiation exposure are going to be a lot stronger than for the average person. I don't suffer from this typically, but I do know people who, when they're around wireless radiation, they'll start having migraines or feel dizzy and fatigue. And it's very interesting. Like I've been in situations where I've seen that person all of a sudden feeling poorly, and we're looking up, and there is a Wi-Fi router just in this room that we just entered, and we're now standing just a few feet away from it. So for people like this, we do have a number of clients obviously who suffer from this, and they find a lot of relief in wearing lamps because, well, it's kind of, they're telling us that it's night and day for them.
Yeah, I bet.
We've had very, very touching stories actually of people who were barely able to function properly when in buildings with a lot of wireless radiation, which is essentially everywhere when you're living in a big city, and with lamps feeling that they're able to be back to normal. And obviously you have for people who unfortunately suffer from that, you have the stigma associated with like, oh, like, are you a tinfoil hat? Like, what's happening? And and the beauty with lamps is that we've created a apparel that actually looks good. And so you don't have to feel
I'm going to wear this out. I can definitely wear this t-shirt at nighttime.
Yeah.
There you go.
Much better than, I don't know if you've ever seen that TV show, Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Yeah, where his brother had the sensitivity, but they made him seem crazy. I think he was lining his suit with aluminum foil and...
Yep.
And, yeah, he just needed some lamb's clothing.
He should have gotten some lambs. unfortunately, I mean, this is a real disease that is impacting a number of people. And that unfortunately got associated with this whole like, oh, you're crazy and that's it. It turns out that no, that's a lot of people are experiencing this. And then with regards to other factors, we've had a number of clients sleeping with an aura ring or a whoop or that kind of stuff, sending us that data from the moment they started wearing lamps, especially at night and before and after. And there's a clear improvement in sleep quality as well from blocking wireless radiation, which again can be very well explained by HRV and what we just discussed about rest and digest versus rest and digest versus fight and flight. Just by blocking wireless radiation when you're sleeping, that's one less thing that your body is being bothered by when trying to recover and heal.
Yeah, that's huge. Really cool. So on the other side of the spectrum, the people that are not experiencing these side effects like headaches, migraines, brain fog, people that, you know, feel invincible from this stuff or not really convinced that these types of waves are affecting us. What research do we need to prove to people? I mean, it seems like it's correlating with the rise in smoking and how that lag in the research about the dangers just came so much later. Like, and I know that we've had this research on EMFs, but why is it taking so long to come to the public? And like, what do you think it's going to take to really get this message across to the mainstream?
You're dragging me into the political
conversation. Oh, you can go any way you want.
No, I'll give a real answer here. So the research is already there. There's been over 30,000 studies now done on the impact on EMF. And that was the case with smoking as well, where in the 1950s, the research was clear on the impact on smoking. And you were still seeing doctors on TV saying, I smoke X, Y, and Z because they're the healthiest cigarettes out there. The healthiest cigarettes.
And that's so crazy.
And the same thing is happening here where, well, you're seeing a variety of things. Number one, there is a very, very powerful telecommunication lobby, which is better funded than the pharmaceutical lobby. So that kind of gives you an idea of how well funded they are. There's been a lot of misinformation with the press pretty early on, and whether it was intentional or not, the parallel that was made pretty often was to compare wireless radiation with nuclear radiation, which are ionizing, and saying, well, wireless radiation from your cell phone, from your Wi-Fi, etc., is not ionizing, therefore it's not like nuclear radiation, it's not damaging your body. And it's kind of like saying, I don't know, like smoking, like walking on a highway is not dangerous because there's no pesticides on the highway. It's like, okay, yeah, that's kind of two completely different things. You're still going to be hit by a truck.
So, good analogy. Yeah.
I'm really not great in my analogies today, I feel, but hopefully people get this. Like,
oh,
so
no,
the first analogy was essentially comparing apples to oranges, and it's not because it's not ionizing that it's not harmful. And we've just discussed at the beginning of this podcast why, I mean, how it's impacting your body and can damage your DNA down the road through oxidative stress and through free radicals that will still be stealing electrons, but for a different reason. And finally, there has been a number of cases of industry-funded research. And when you're looking at industry-funded research compared to independent research, you have a very different picture of the impact of EMF. So the rough number is 70 to 80% of the research shows an impact, shows that wireless radiation have an impact on our body, an adverse effect on our body when it's independent research. And about 90% of the industry-funded research shows no impact whatsoever.
Oh, wow.
So isn't that interesting?
Obviously, then this is being relayed to the press as to like, well, scientists are divided on this, like research shows one thing, the other research shows another, so it's 50-50. But really, if you're looking at the independent research, it's actually very, very clear. It took 20 years, 30 years for smoking, for tobacco to be something that people really are aware of. Interestingly, like a lot with 5G being rolled out, that brought up the question again of how safe are wireless radiation, and the debate is started again. So people at least hear about it. But there is a very interesting article on the subject that was published in The Guardian called The Inconvenient Truth About Cell Phone and Cancer. And it's very eye-opening on the misinformation and tactics that can be used in order to, and the reason why we're not hearing about this more. But there is a number of initiatives that are happening all over the world. When it comes to 5G, for instance, Brussels in Belgium has completely altered 5G. I believe that a couple of states here in the US have halted 5G deployment as well, and a few cities as well in the states. One of them is Mills Valley in California, and it's the home of a lot of venture capitalists working in tech. I find it always interesting that tech enthusiasts.
Yeah, but they don't want it.
For 5G not to be deployed in the city, that kind of gives you an idea as well of the perception of the technology. So a number of things are happening. In France, you cannot advertise a cell phone to any kid, any teenager less than 14 years old, because of the impact on kids is much higher. Cyprus has a whole campaign around this that has been going on for a couple of years now. So yeah, it's going to be changing. It's going to take some time, but fortunately we have people like the biohacker babes who can help spread awareness on the topic. So that's
trying to help.
That's a positive there.
The word. It's a big deal. It's really a big deal.
Yeah. We'll definitely find that article and link to that in the show notes so everyone can check that out. I think the more you see the research, the more you just can't really argue what's happening.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah, there's been a number of scientists, I believe over 300 scientists who've been together published thousands of papers on the impact of virus radiation, who appealed to the United Nations saying, hey, based on the research that we've done, there needs to be more awareness on wireless radiation and the impact on its body. It's called the EMF scientific appeal, EMF scientist appeal, sorry. They've really rang the alarm bell saying there is a problem here and we should be talking about it. Fortunately, again, like there are a few very easy steps that we can take today that can directly have an impact on our lives and that are one-offs. So buying a timer for your Wi-Fi so it shuts off at night, turning your cell phone in airplane mode when you're going to bed, wearing lamps. These are all super easy steps that people can take and protect themselves.
Yeah, that's great. Where did the name come from? Lamps.
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, we definitely went through over 100 iterations of the fabric to get to a point where the fabric would be soft and comfortable to wear and just as good as any other fabric in your garment selection. When talking about, I mean, obviously it's new. We were the world's first radiation-proof apparel. So a lot of people, when we started working on this, were like, well, is it comfortable though? If you're using silver and creating this like shielding effect, like how comfortable is it? And so we wanted a name that inspired, that kind of conveyed this idea of comfort, because we really worked super hard to get there, as well as had a little bit of protection to it. So if you're looking at the lamps, they have this coat that protects them in a very comfortable way. And that's kind of the same thing with your lamps garment, is their protection that is stylish and very comfortable.
I love that.
Awesome. And just because of the high correlation with fertility, I think it's just really great picturing lambs babies. Really cute.
Yeah, that's very true. I never thought about this actually, but there's this.
Gotta start the lambs baby wall.
But for any vegans who might be listening, no lambs were hurt in the process of making lambs, and we are not using any lambs anywhere in our or any lambs product.
Just the name and the picture.
Just the name and a picture. That's all we're doing.
Perfect. Awesome. I love
that. So you have a range of products available on the website. You have for men, women, you have boxers, cheeky underwear for women. You have cool hats, t-shirts. You even have for babies, a baby blanket, a baby onesie, a belly band for pregnant women. Is there anything I'm missing?
No, I think you've covered most of it. So we've never considered ourselves to be a fashion brand or even a clothing company. We're really more of a health and wellness company. And so the design process of like, okay, which garments are we going to be working on next or first has really been very different from these companies, which in the sense that we first looked at what are the organs that are most impacted by wireless radiation and by the sun as well, which again, we're UVF 50, so we block more than 98% of the sun UV rays. And so we went this way. And so brain was obviously super important. The t-shirts would allow to protect your gut, your heart, and your vital organs. And then obviously the underwear for your genitals. And yeah, we were like, okay, we can probably wait for the socks. You know, it's a lot less important than these organs. So that's kind of how we went. And then the second piece of this was, okay, what different sorts of iterations of the product do we need so that we can wear them every day. And that's what we have, long sleeves, short sleeves. Some people, I mean, depending on the climate that you're living in, as well as the different habits. And then we have rotating collars. So unlike me right now, you don't want to be wearing a black t-shirt on a regular basis. We have collar drops roughly every once or twice a month. We're still a small company, so we can't afford to have dozens of collars because all of this is inventory that we need to purchase in advance and we don't have a ton of money. But the way we've kind of fixed it is by regularly bringing new collars that are on a limited edition basis. And that kind of allows people to, yeah, to switch it up and spice it up. So for anyone who is interested in more collars, join our mailing list and you'll be the first in the know when we're bringing out new collars.
Awesome. I love the mustard yellow that you have for the women's t-shirt right now. I think that's such a cool color.
Yeah, it's about, if it's not gone already, it might be by the time the podcast is aired. But
by the time that this podcast comes out, that color will be gone. But
probably, but okay, we have a ton of cool colors in the making as well. So it's
wonderful. Great. It's really exciting. I mean, I've seen the product line grow since we first were exposed to you guys. There's so many new things. So congratulations. I think it's going to keep going in that way. And we're excited to be along for the ride.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We've got a long list of products in the making. And similarly, if you do end up purchasing some lamps, you'll receive an email from me shortly after your order. It's an actual email from me that goes to my inbox, and we're asking you what else we can do to help you on your health journey, and how that really helps us guide the development process afterwards. So don't hesitate to reply and to have a chat with me. We've awesome. Really built this brand for people who are wearing it. And so we're super happy to have our customers involved in the design process and development process at every stage.
That's great. I can't wait to keep adding to my collection. So thank you for all you do. And for anyone listening, we'll send you to the website in the show notes today. So getlams.com. And you are also on Instagram and Facebook at getlams. So
we are.
People can connect with you. That's great. Well, Arthur, before we let you run, we always like to ask one final question. If you can give our audience one final piece of advice, something they can do starting today to optimize their health and wellness,
what
would that be? Other than wearing lambs.
I mean, I was not about to say wear lambs. That would have been cheeky.
I know, that's my job to say that.
One piece of advice. You know, I found a couple of things to be... And I know it's one piece of advice, but I'm actually going to say two things that for me are always making a big difference. I found that the moments where I'm the most tired and the more likely to not follow my routine or to eat unhealthy, et cetera, just a quick workout has always worked on bring me back. Like a quick workout outside in the sun has always worked on like getting me back to the top of my game because I feel amazing afterwards. In those cases, there is nothing that I want to do less than working out. But when I do force myself, it's really amazing how it changes. Okay. The second thing that really worked for me when setting new routines that are not necessarily as easy as just putting on your lamps in the morning, which might be about working out or writing my morning journal or that kind of stuff, meditating, etc., is whenever I set myself a goal for this routine of like, let's say I'm rowing every morning and I want to be rowing 15 minutes and I feel like I can do 15 minutes every morning, I'll cut this goal in half. And this is what I'm aiming for as a minimum. So now it's not 15 minutes, it's 7.5 minutes. And more often than not, I'm going to do the 15, but that allows me for all those days where I'm not motivated. Same for meditation. If it's like, I'm going to meditate 20 minutes per day, I'm going to say, well, actually the goal is 10 minutes per day. And that makes it much easier to have like this kind of half goal. And also the moment you're setting your objectives, you're motivated. So it's a lot easier to be like, yeah, 20 minutes, easy, no problem. And then when you're in the midst of it, you're like, actually, I really don't want to do 20 minutes today. So anyways, slashing my goals in half has probably been the best things for my goals. And I probably end up doing twice as much as yeah. I would otherwise. So that's another one that really worked for me is don't not to be over promising to myself. And yeah, I feel much better about this.
I love that advice. I think 10 minutes for meditation sounds really doable. And I know when I do the same, half the goal, and then I get to 10, and then the competitive nature in me goes, I can do it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You're already in it. Why not?
Yeah, you're in it, but it's a lot easier to get started.
Totally.
Then you feel like, okay, 2 hours rowing, let's go.
Oh, no. Gosh. Yeah. I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe.
That's great practical advice. I'm going to definitely follow that. I love it. Well, Arthur, you're an amazing biohacker. It's so great connecting with you. You obviously prioritize your health and wellness, and we just absolutely resonate with that and love it so much. So thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. That was a ton of fun. And again, thanks so much for bringing awareness to the rest of the world on a variety of things that you can easily do to improve your health and live longer and happier. That's amazing. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you so much. This is so much fun. And we're going to send everyone to your website, Get Lambs. And thank you to everyone for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Love this episode of the Biohacker Babes podcast? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We truly appreciate your support. Until then, happy biohacking!
This podcast offers health, fitness, and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional.